we would be unable to enjoy the freedoms granted to us in the Constitution. Let's salute those who have given their lives in the line of duty, as well as those who serve today. Show your appreciation by sending a care package to our troops. Contact your local veterans organization for more information. This reminder has been from Revolution, NMR, LLC, in Fort Collins, creator of scientific instruments.
Well, and here at the American Freedom Network, our guest this morning, Pastor David Whitney from the Institute of the Constitution. And, you know, if we want to take America back, why, the first thing we have to do is understand what we had. Basically, America was a unique nation because it was governed by a constitution that limited the power of government so men could be free. That was the essence of what it was about. America was founded by Christians on Christian principles. It was not a Christian nation. You did not have to be a Christian. But our form of government was made for a moral and religious people. It would not work for any other, which is why, as you listen to the news, you see more and more violence and shooting and killing and gang activity. And it's certainly as I listen to the news night after night and hear them talking about shootings, certainly in Salinas, just about 75 miles from where I live. There's almost a shooting a day there, and certainly many people killed in gang activity. And I just wonder, my goodness, these gangs, these young people go to school. Wouldn't it be wonderful if somebody would tell them, thou shalt not kill, that they will be held responsible? There is a hell, there's punishment for what they do. But we would never dare mention the name of God in schools today. And then we wonder why our nation is beginning to crumble. Well, if we want to take America back, we have to start with the fundamentals. And that is where the Institute of the Constitution comes in. It's dedicated to actually preserving our way of life by, first of all, teaching us what America was and then hoping we can reclaim it. Pastor David Whitney, you pick up the story.
Well, thank you, Dr. Stan. It's a blessing to be with you. And, yes, indeed, our moral foundation is really the most important social capital, I guess you could say, that a nation has. When you think of what many people do in terms of evaluating a nation, they'll say, well, you know, their gross domestic product is this number, and we see prosperity and so forth. All those things are indicators of something else. And what our founders said, indicators of a moral, righteous, virtuous, Christian people. John Adams, the second president, who was a very important founder, as he was a signer both of the Declaration and the Constitution. But John Adams said, our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious. By the way, when he used that term religious, he was indicating Christian people. We know that if you want to find out what words meant to our founders, and it shouldn't surprise us that words have been twisted and their meanings have been changed over the course of a couple hundred years. But when you want to find out what they meant words to, understood words to mean, you have to look at the 1828 Webster's Dictionary. And when you look at that dictionary, the word religion speaks of the Christian religion. Our founders talked about other religions, like Mohammedanism is what they called, what's today called Islam, and other religions. They called them often imposter religions, not the true religion. And so, When John Adams said our Constitution is made only for a moral and religious or Christian people, he then said it's wholly inadequate for the governance of any other. Without that foundation of virtue, morality, Christian morality, without that, the system won't work because it's designed to depend on self-government. That is, the people themselves are obeying God's law in their lives individually, and in their families and family governments, so they're doing what God's law says they are to do. And then, of course, in their churches, obeying God's law. And when that takes place, you have freedom, you have liberty, you have the maximum amount of ability of the people to fulfill their God-given duties and enjoy their God-given rights without interference from a civil government. The civil government's there minimally just to see that God's law is enforced when infractions of it take place. So if you have a system like that, you've got a wonderful opportunity for liberty. And that was America in its first, probably 150-plus years. Really, it was the transition took place after World War II in the 1950s and 60s, when immorality began to reign, and anti-Christian sentiment began to be propagated. Public schools were a prime example of what happened in the 60s. Remove God, remove the Bible, remove prayer, say Christianity can no longer be inculcated in the minds of the youth. And as you said, Dr. Stan, if you teach the children nothing about what God's command says, nothing about the eternal rewards and punishments, then you're going to have a murderous, thieving, evil generation arise. And indeed, that's what we have. Well, our founders knew human nature well enough to know this. You want to be very careful in structuring that civil government, which is necessary because of human sin and human fallen condition. You must have some form of human civil government. But that government itself is a danger to your liberties. So you want to construct it in such a way that it helps preserve your God-given rights, but does not impinge or does not violate your God-given rights as well. So, if, for example, if you had a crime problem in your city and you thought, well, you know, our police are ineffective, let's get this group called the Mafia. I've heard they're really good at cleaning up, the crime problems. And indeed they are. They have their methods for doing so. So let's get the Mafia to come in here and clean up our city. What would happen if you did that is the Mafia would take control, and the Mafia, with their own criminal design, would then demand of all the people in the city protection money and, their criminal activities of prostitution and gambling and so forth would go on under their control. But they would clean it up in the sense that the other criminals would be put out of business because they would be the criminals, only criminals allowed in business. So our founders realized that the danger in hiring a civil government is that civil government itself might become criminal, might become a mafia. And so we look at our Constitution, and as our founders ratified that Constitution, they all agreed there's with few exceptions, Hamilton, a few others, but most of them agreed that they needed a Bill of Rights. And this Bill of Rights was to secure the individual's God-given rights against the civil government that they were creating. So they wanted to restrict the civil government, saying, when we hire you, we're not going to allow you to become a mafia. We're going to force you to remain within the boundaries that we have placed upon you by the 7 articles of our Constitution, and then these additional 10 amendments that form our Bill of Rights are the restrictions that we're going to place upon civil government. So they're very important, these Bill of Rights. We have discussed, I think, at length in the past couple of months, the First Amendment. And so I'd like to enter into the Second Amendment, which is extremely important and therefore is under great attack today, because our founders designed it not for hunting and, you know, that people would have a right to own a firearm so they could go shoot Bambi or something like that. No, that's not the purpose. The purpose is to protect us from tyrannical government.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in a moment with Pastor David Wood.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes, or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on!
If you're taking 1, 2, 5 or more nutritional supplements, please stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food supplement you can buy. Men, women, children, even Olympic athletes the world over have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com. And now take just one nutritional supplement instead of many. The Bio Superfood formulas are whole food products composed with 4 of the most nutrient-dense algae found on Earth. Bio Superfood for the brain helps with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. If you can increase brain health, the rest of the body is a no-brainer. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity and is safe for you and your family. Learn more and order your Bio Superfood formulas at BioAge.com, spelled BioAge.com, BioAge.com, or call 877-288-9116. That's 877-288-9116. BioAge, the age of advanced organics.
No state shall enter into any treaty, alliance, or confederation grant letters of marque or reprisal, coin money, emit bills of credit, make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts, pass any bill of attainder, ex post facto law, or law impairing the obligation of contracts, or grant any title of nobility. Article 1, Section 10.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network. Our guest this morning, Pastor David Whitney of the Institute of the Constitution. We're talking about our form of government, or what we had at one time. We had a constitution. You must understand there's a subversive element that is taking control of our government, and that they work through the CFR, the Trilateral Commission, and other organizations that set out 50 years ago or more to destroy the Christian foundation of this nation, to take God out of our schools, to take God out of our public life, to ridicule religion, and they've done a pretty good job of it. They've infiltrated our seminaries, where they, of course, then taught our ministers a different gospel. And today, ministers seldom talk about hell or fear of God or punishment for sin. We have an entirely different type of God today. Well, we really don't, but that's what they want the public to believe. And that is why we have increasing lawlessness in our society. And as you move towards lawlessness, what do you need? A more powerful government to maintain law and order. And today we're militarizing our police, expanding our police force, listening to all of our telephone conversations, all in the name of protecting our freedom. Ladies and gentlemen, it's as phony as a $3 bill. We're moving to a dictatorship. And if you're not involved, you're part of the problem, because there is no position of neutrality. Pastor David Whitney, you pick up the story.
Well, thank you. One of the things that's, in other words, what I'm presenting, many people would challenge in the legal profession, particularly, oh, no, that's not what the Bill of Rights are about. Well, I would counter, just read the preamble to the Bill of Rights. One of those elements of the Bill of Rights almost never read, or when you see a printed copy of the Constitution, the preamble to the Bill of Rights is almost never included, but it's important to see what they said the purpose for the Bill of Rights was. It says this, it's quoting the preamble of the Bill of Rights. The Constitution of the number of the states, having at the time of their adopting the Constitution, expressed a desire in order to prevent misconstruction or abuse of its powers, that is, constitutional powers, that further declaratory and restrictive clauses should be added, and as extending the ground of public confidence in the government, will best ensure the beneficent ends of its institution. So they were very clear, the whole reason we're doing this is the states have demanded it, and basically there was a significant number of states that would not have ratified the Constitution had a Bill of Rights not been promised. So the states demanded it, and its purpose was to see that the Constitution was interpreted properly, that is, as it was originally intended, that it would never be abused, that it never would be misconstrued. Well, in our study of the Constitution today, we see that is exactly what has happened. The Constitution has been misconstrued. It has been misinterpreted. It has been misapplied. It has been abused in egregious ways, such that, Heritage Foundation is one organization that has estimated 90%+ of everything done by Washington, D.C. today is unconstitutional, which means they are breaking the law. Or another way to put it is, the mafia has taken over the government, doing whatever it pleases rather than obeying the law as they took an oath before Almighty God to do. And by the way, that oath they have taken to Almighty God, God will hold them accountable for on Judgment Day. So they may seem to get away with it here in this life, but oh, there's a terrible, terrible day of reckoning coming for all of those in Washington who take an oath to uphold the Constitution, because they're violating it. And by the way, they know what they're doing. They're not ignorant in their violations of the Constitution. So looking at the text of the Second Amendment, it is one of the clearest of any of the statements of our Bill of Rights. And it is also one of the most restrictive of our statement of the Bill of Rights. A well-regulated militia, it says, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. That language shall not be infringed. It is the strongest language in our Constitution. And anything, therefore, that would prohibit a person from keeping and bearing arms, who is not a convicted felon, in other words, somebody who's not in prison, but who's not a convicted felon, anything that would restrict them from keeping and bearing arms is a clear violation of this Second Amendment to our Constitution. Now, the collectivist view wants to tell us, oh, the Second Amendment only protects the right of people collectively to bear arms, you know, so the state can maintain a National Guard and the state can maintain a police force, but oh, you, the individual citizen, you have no right whatsoever to have a gun. No way. Well, the interesting thing about that theory is, what is the rest of the Bill of Rights? It speaks of our individual rights. Look at the First Amendment. Your individual right to freedom of religion, your individual right to speak and to print your sentiments and to publish and so on, your individual right to redress of grievances against. All those things are individual rights. The entirety of the Bill of Rights focuses on that. So it would be extremely inappropriate to say that, this amendment is an exception. It only deals with your collective rights as a people to have arms. The odd thing about that is, a theory then, is that government exists on its own independent authority, separate from the people. Government is not by consent of the governed, by that theory. Indeed, government has its own means of authority, separate from the people. Not so. Our founders clearly said, had a Declaration of Independence, that the consent of the governed is the absolute standard by which governments have any right to exist, and if the people no longer consent, then the government needs to be changed or abolished or altered or amended. In fact, the proper understanding that our founders are following, John Locke and the other political theorists, Blackstone and so on, is that the government only has powers because we, the people, have chosen to delegate certain things to them that we have because of our inherent right as human beings, that we have been given these by God. For example, you have a right to property. Where do you get your right to property? Well, you get it from God. God created you in His image, and as an image bearer of God, one of those elements of being an image bearer of God is that you have a right to property. We know that you have a right to property because God's law says so. It says so in the negative. The commandment, thou shalt not steal, says that you have a positive right to keep property that you have properly and lawfully, according to God's law, obtained. So you have a positive right for property because of the negative command of Scripture, thou shalt not steal. Likewise, you have a right to self-defense. If someone attacks you, you have a right. In fact, you have a duty to defend your life, also based on God's command. The negative command is, thou shalt not murder. The positive side of that is that you need to do everything to defend life, your own life, the life of your family, the life of your neighbors, and those that might be within your ability to help. So if you're walking down the street and somebody is being attacked, you have a positive duty to intervene and stop that. So God's law says you have a right to life. Your right to life implies that you clearly have a right to defend your life against unlawful taking of life. Therefore, you have a right to protect your life, even using what might result in the death of the person who is attacking you. So the only way that human civil government ever has the right to defend life is because we, the people, because of our God-given right to life and to defend life, we the people have determined to delegate authority to the civil government to protect and defend our right to life and our right to property. So the only reason a policeman has a gun is because I, as a citizen, have a right to have a gun. In fact, the policeman has no right to have a gun whatsoever if somehow I, as a human citizen, have no right to a gun either. They cannot carry a gun unless I give them the power to do so based upon my given right, God-given right, to defend my life. So, for example, if we were to put this into an illustration, if I were to decide that living in Baltimore is a very dangerous thing, and it is, it's one of the worst murder cities in the United States, if I decided that if I'm going to travel in Baltimore, I need a bodyguard. So I shop around and I find a bodyguard that's going to protect me, and I hire this bodyguard. We agree on a payment structure and so forth. And this bodyguard is with me in the city of Baltimore on one night as we're walking down a street, and a group of thugs jump out to attack me. And my bodyguard decides, you know, I don't think I'd like this job. I don't think it pays me enough money here to put my life in danger to protect David Whitten. This isn't working out for me. I'm leaving. Now, the fact that I hired this bodyguard to defend and protect me, and he abandons me on the streets of Baltimore to a group of thugs that intend to do me harm and perhaps even kill me, does that mean I can no longer defend myself? You know, oh, I hired this bodyguard, so I yielded all my power to defend myself to the bodyguard? No, of course not. We know that that's ridiculous. I still have a right to defend myself, even if my bodyguard is hired by me to do so. I have not given up my right of self-defense by hiring a bodyguard to help me defend myself. And so it is with human civil government. We, the people, have compacted together, formed a civil government, and given it certain powers. It does not have rights. I appreciate my friends that talk about states' rights, but that's the wrong language. States, that is, human civil governments, have no rights. Only human beings have rights, rights given to them by God. And those God-given rights are the basis for which they can then choose a human civil government to which they will grant specific powers to defend those God-given rights, and only those God-given rights. That's why the limitation was placed in our Constitution saying, civil government can only do these things. It cannot do anything other than the specific powers we have delegated to it as our, you know, it's our bodyguard. We told our bodyguard, okay, you could defend me when we're walking down the streets, but hey, you're not going to come inside my house. You know, I restrict you. You're only going to be outside my house when I'm out and about in public. You're going to be with me as a bodyguard, but you're going to stay outside when I come home. You need to be outside the house and not inside the house. We could tell our bodyguard who we hired exactly what his limits are. And so it is with our civil government. Our Constitution and our Bill of Rights were designed to limit that civil government to certain specific things. But what's happened is the bodyguard has decided that he is the boss, that he is our master, and now he's going to tell us what, oh, I'm going to come in your house, and by the way, I'm going to sleep in your bed, and I'm going to eat the food out of your refrigerator, and I'm going to take the money out of your bank account. I'm going to do whatever I please because I am the boss. Well, wait a minute. We'd say, I fire you. You're not my master. You are my servant. And if you're going to act like my master, I fire you on the spot. I will go hire another bodyguard who will do the proper job and will stay within the limits that I have assigned to him as my servant. That's what human civil government is. It is our servant, but it has chosen to become our master. And the devious way, of course, they've done this is they promise us all sorts of goodies. Oh, we'll give you this, and we'll give you that, and we'll give you the other thing. But the truth of the matter is government can never give you anything that it doesn't take from someone else. And so they, by taxes, take all kinds of things from other people to give the goodies to the people they're promising the goodies to. That's a no-win situation. Because ultimately, we have to have things taken from us to be given to other people. So the Second Amendment, the collectivist view of the Second Amendment is completely a false interpretation. It's out of step with what our founders said. It's out of step with the very philosophy of government. The collectivist view has no proper place in the Bill of Rights that secures God-given rights to individuals. What is the correct, that is, what our founders' view of the Second Amendment was, what you might call an individualist view, that the Second Amendment protects the individual's right to keep and bear arms. It mentions the militia, but it only mentions the militia as the reason for this right. If there was no militia in existence, by the way, a good friend, Dr. Ed Vieira, who is a constitutional expert, has studied the area of militia. I think he's published a huge two-volume work now on the militia and the history of the militia. And he contends that there's not one state in the 50 of the Union currently that has a true constitutional militia. According to the laws that were established at the beginning, were actually back in the colonial era, and then were carried into the state governments, that not one state really has a constitutional militia in existence. There are some that have National Guard, by the way, is not a constitutional militia. You read the instructions regarding the National Guard following the Dick Act of 1902, and basically what you have is the militias were kind of swept into a National Guard, which was quasi-state militia and quasi-controlled by the federal government.
David. We'll be back in a moment here at the American Freedom Network.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on. Join internationally acclaimed doctors Michael Kiriak and Roland Thomas and other health experts for an exciting three-hour conference on the science and benefits of biosuperfood on Thursday, August the 22nd at 6:45 p.m. at the Spring Hill Suites in Denver, Westminster, on Church Ranch Boulevard at 103rd Avenue. Register now at BioAge or call 303-683-8113. That's 303-683-8113 or BioAge.com. Leave your name and number of people in your group. Registration is limited and pre-registration discount of $10 or pay $20 at the door.
The name is Patriot Trading Group and the website is allamericangold.com. I'm Joe Jaquin, Vice President of the Patriot Trading Group, and we handle American gold for the American people because that's who we are and that's who we care about. So if you want your portfolio to help you get the job done, or if you want your IRA to be safe from Wall Street and the paper markets and your kids' future to be protected, then call us, the Patriot Trading Group, at 800-951-0592. You'll be glad you did.
If you own a firearm, it's important to have proper training. Or if you're considering purchasing a firearm for self-defense, it's important to know the right person to train with. Josh at D&M TAC is a federally licensed firearms dealer, certified NRA instructor with a great firearms training course. Want more confidence with the operation of your firearm or to increase your precision and advance your level of training? This is the place. The hands-on in-depth classroom curriculum includes 4 hours of extensive range practice and basic firearms training, malfunction training, self-defense mindset, concealment training, and more, all at the greatest value in the gun training industry. If you want to learn proper firearm skills the right way, the first time, and want to surpass your current skill level, Josh at D&M TAC has the firearms training course for you. This course also qualifies you to apply for concealed carry permit and for advanced training. Beginner or advanced, tactical or defense, call 720-323-2534. That's 720-323-2534 and ask Josh about your KHNC listener discount. Article 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall be issued but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the places to be searched and the persons or things to be seized.
Well, Dr. Stan here, our guest this morning, Pastor David Whitney of the Institute of the Constitution. Before we go on, David, I'd like you to tell our listeners how they can get in touch with the Institute and how they can get their course and begin teaching others the amazing Constitution that separates America from all other nations in the world. How can people get in touch with you and your organization?
Well, thank you, Dr. Stan. We have put together what we call a host kit that enables really anyone with any group of people to communicate the principles of our founders, give them an understanding of their worldview, particularly their worldview regarding government and law, and then give them a working knowledge of the Declaration, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and subsequent amendments. And this host kit really is a turnkey method by which really any citizen can do this with a group of fellow citizens. You can get a hold of our host kit either by calling us. Our toll-free number at Institute on the Constitution is 1-866-730-9796. That toll-free number again for Institute on the Constitution is 1-866-730-9796. 9796. Or if you'd like, you could go on our website. Our website is theamericanview.com. It's all one word, theamericanview.com. And right there on the very first page, you'll see a blue button about information about the host kit. Click that button. It'll take you to the page and show you all the options for our U.S. course host kit. And also our store has many other resources that can help you understand our Constitution. There's a talk I've given on the Second Amendment and its relationship to the militia and relationship to the posse that might be of interest to folks who are interested in the Second Amendment issue and our founders' understanding of it and how they structured that whole system. There's many resources that encourage you to avail yourself of there at our web store. But our website to access all that is theamericanview.com. And we use that title, The American View, because that was what our founders built this constitutional republic on. The American view is very simple. There is a creator God, and that's the God of the Bible. Secondly, our rights come from him and him alone. And thirdly, the sole purpose of human civil government is to secure and protect those God-given rights. So either go to our website, theamericanview.com, and order a host kit or give us a call at Institute of the Constitution, 1-866-730-9796. And we're encouraged, Dr. Stan, is all across the country. We have hosts that are starting classes or preparing to start classes for the fall. We know that as school kicks back into session, it's a great time. Now's the time to get a host kit. That gives you time to review it and prepare for conducting a class in your community. I was just talking to a friend out in Wyoming who's just got a host kit and very excited about taking this to his church and having his church offer this as a course probably during the week. But it's not only being done in churches. There's people who have rented community halls or got free space in the library or many different ways and places where you can conduct a class. And we're here as a backup support. As I was sharing with my friend in Wyoming, whenever someone hosts a class, Institute on the Constitution, we are their information resource, because I know one of the greatest fears people have of conducting a class like this is that someone with a lot of knowledge or whatever is going to come into the class, raise their hand, and ask a question to stump them as the host. And we say, don't ever worry about that. Just say, you know, that is an excellent question. Let me write that question down, and next week when we gather, I will have an answer from Institute on the Constitution back to you. And then we urge the host to either call us or email us the next day so that we have time to get an answer back to them before their next class is held. And that way they never have to fear having a question answered that they don't know the response to. They don't just say, that's an excellent question. We'll have an answer next week. Come back next week, and we'll share the answer. So we at Institute on the Constitution are that resource that helps the host succeed in doing the important work on the ground there in their community of training people in our founders' view of law and government and training them in a working knowledge of the founding documents. So encourage everyone in the listening area there to get a host kit. I'm up in Wyoming and Cheyenne. There's going to be some classes offered very shortly in the fall, and we'll have more information on our website when we know the details of when and where that's taking place. But I know in northern Colorado it would be great to see classes spring up as well. So either call us 866-730-9796 or go to our website, theamericanview.com.
And this is the key to taking America back. And if you're not involved, ladies and gentlemen, you're part of the problem. Your obligation is to set up one of these courses, begin teaching people about our Constitution and the fact that our freedoms come from God, not from government. And we limit the power of government so men can be free. Go right ahead, David.
Well, when we consider the Second Amendment, some of those important terms that have changed in meaning, we need to examine. For example, the word militia has become a bad word in our land, and the media has done a superb propaganda job of convincing Americans that anybody that talks about the militia is a domestic terrorist. Well, what in the world are they talking about? The Constitution right here, Bill of Rights speaks of militia. The body of the Constitution itself refers to militias. In fact, if you look at the language here of our Second Amendment, it says a militia is necessary for a free state to exist. That is a state that is free from tyranny. That if you don't have a militia, then you don't have what is necessary for the establishment of free, that is non-tyrannical government. Think of that for a moment. If we take Ed Vieira's constitutional expertise and his research that he believes that not one of the 50 states has a militia, then what do we have according to the Second Amendment? We have a condition for tyranny. Our founders put the Second Amendment in place not so people could go duck hunting. No, they put it in place because they knew governments always tend to become tyrannical, and the people need a final voice against tyrannical government, and that final voice, not the ballot box, not the jury box, but ultimately the cartridge box. We don't want to have to go there. That's not the way we want freedom to be established. But if necessary, it is absolutely essential that the people be armed against a tyrannical government that comes against them. That's what Lexington and Concord was all about that started the War for Independence. The government of Great Britain determined they were going to disarm the people of Lexington and Concord. They were coming to take away their ability to defend themselves with firearms. That's what it was about. That's why the first shot fired heard around the world was took place, because the people said, no, we will not attack the government, but if the government attacks us, we will keep our right to keep and bear arms so that we can defend ourselves against the murderous attempts of a tyrannical government to kill us, which is exactly what King George III intended to do. He went there, Lexington to Concord, and he did kill. He did draw first blood in an attempt to steal the weapons that the people of Lexington and Concord kept to defend themselves against just such a tyrant as King George III. So our very foundation, our very coming into existence as a nation was based upon this Second Amendment principle, and therefore that's why when the Bill of Rights is being considered, it's like, hey, this is essential. That's why the language here is so interesting. Very few things, if you look through the Constitution, very few things are stated to be necessary, but the right to keep and bear arms is absolutely necessary.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes, or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on!
Square Root Construction is pleased to help support the American Freedom Network by offering our high-quality custom deck construction services. Established in 1990, Square Root Construction has been building high-quality decks and other types of outdoor living projects all along the Northern Front Range. We are licensed, insured, and have all the experience, knowledge, and skills to help you create the outdoor living oasis of your dreams. For your free consultation and no-obligation quote, give Doug a call at 303-517-8742 or visit us on the web at squareroconstruction.com.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots, biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
Hi, I'm Double A Aaron at Ehrlich Toyota on Highway 34 and 47th Avenue in Greeley. We offer a great selection of new and used vehicles at very competitive prices. I wanted to support the unique programming on this very important radio station and convince the dealership to help me. Give me a shot at earning your business when considering your next vehicle. I will treat you fairly and give you the respect I would want. Call me, Double A Aaron, at Ehrlich Toyota at 970-339-3900. That's 970-339-3900.
Well, David, let's cover the last segment of this morning's program. You go right ahead.
Oh, thank you, Dr. Stan. Well, so what I was pointing out before the break is the importance of understanding what in the world is a militia. And that term has been sullied and distorted by the purposefully so, because they recognize that the militia is the final defense against tyrannical government. So if they want tyrannical government, they've got to denigrate the militia. But what was the militia to our founders? Again, we turn to Webster's 1828 dictionary, and it reads this in the article on the militia. The militia of a country are the able-bodied men organized into companies, regiments, and brigades with officers of all grades and required by law to attend military exercises on certain days only, but at other times left to pursue their usual occupations. So the militia were all the able-bodied men of the community. And by law, they were required to attend certain drill functions at certain times of the year. They were required to keep weapons prepared and ready in good working order, and would be fined, actually, if those weapons were not in good working order. So the militia was organized, and it functioned very well in the colonial era, and it functioned very well for the War for Independence. And then, of course, following that, the states established militias just as the colonies had militias, so they continued that well up into the 19th century and the 20th century. It was when the Dick Act of 1902 was crafted that began to change. And these militias began to be called the National Guard. And they, as a National Guard, if you read the details, it is really under the control of the federal government, that the federal government at will can call up the National Guard and do whatever it chooses with that National Guard, even if there's not a declaration of war. That's completely unconstitutional. That's not a structure ever designed by our founders. They always said no. The militia can only be called up by the federal government when a time of war has been declared. Congress has actually declared war. Many of your listeners may know the last time Congress declared war was World War II. Nothing after World War II is a constitutional war. Even if you might think it was a good war, no, it wasn't a constitutional war. Not one of the engagements militarily, and yet our National Guard has been used in all of them. In fact, I remember a couple of years ago up in Montana, there was terrible forest fires, and the governor of Montana appealed to Bush that, please, please send my National Guard back from the Middle East. I need them here in our state for this emergency that we're having. And Bush just turned a deaf ear and said, no, I'm not going to listen to you. I don't have to listen to you. The National Guard is my military. It's not yours, Mr. Governor, so I don't have to listen to you at all. And that just illustrated, again, that the National Guard is not the militia as defined by our Constitution. And it does not function in the fashion designed by our Constitution of the citizen who is also a member of the militia and therefore is ready and able to defend the state and even the local community, the posse on the county level, defend the state or the county against tyrannical government. Whether that tyrannical government is invading from Canada or whether that tyrannical government is invading from Washington, D.C. That's one of the things that's tragically been lost in our land and needs to be restored and can be restored. It can be restored on the state level, and I believe it can be restored on the county level as sheriffs wake up to the idea that they are the head of the posse, and the posse is essentially the militia at the county level that's at the beck and call of the sheriff. Again, to defend the God-given rights of the people within that county, within the jurisdiction of that sheriff, the posse is there to help him do that job. And indeed, there's sheriffs waking up all over the country. I understand that Sheriff Richard Mack has 700 sheriffs who signed up and said, look, if Obama gun control laws are enacted in Washington, D.C., those laws will not be law. They will not be treated as law in our county. We, the citizens of our particular county, under the direction and leadership of their sheriff, are going to follow the Constitution we swore an oath to uphold. And if some law comes from Washington, D.C., violating the Constitution, we're not going to listen to that law. We will listen to the Constitution. Because we took an oath not to obey Obama. We took an oath to obey the Constitution of these United States. And before Almighty God, we swore that oath. So that's what we will do. So it's encouraging that there's 700 sheriffs. There needs to be many, many more, because there's 3,100 some odd counties in our country. But if every sheriff were to wake up to the fact that he has a duty to raise up and train a posse of citizens who understand these principles, and by the way, that's one of the things we're engaged in at Institute on the Constitution, helping sheriffs do exactly that. We've been helping Sheriff Jeff Christopher over here in Delaware, who's under attack from his state government that's stripping or attempting to strip him of his powers as a sheriff, and working with him to help raise a posse that would do what is right in his county and defend the God-given rights of the citizens against the attack of a state government, not just a federal government that is attempting tyrannical control of that that territory. So the militia is all the people. And we need to understand this, because the lie has been put forth that the militia is a dangerous group of rednecks running around the woods with guns that are very, very unsafe, and they're basically domestic terrorists. No, they're not. The domestic terrorists are the people in Washington, D.C. Obama and company, they're the domestic terrorists because they're violating our Constitution. We need citizens, citizens who will be militia members and posse members to stand up against the tyranny that's coming down from Washington, D.C. And as I tell folks, and as we did with Sheriff Christopher's group, the most important training, the very first training that you need, is constitutional training. You need to understand our founders' view of law and government, their worldview regarding that. We need to understand it and have a working knowledge of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights and subsequent amendments. You've got to know what the supreme law is, because you may be called upon to defend the citizens of your county against unlaw, that is unconstitutional law that somehow in Washington, D.C. is attempting to be pushed upon the citizens of a state or of a county. If you don't know what the standard is, you don't know how to fight against violations of that standard. And so that's why, again, I think the most important thing that can be done is to begin with the process of studying our United States Constitution. That's why our host kit and our course, we think, is just so helpful. And as I said earlier, that I have a friend in Wyoming. I was up at the Cheyenne for a couple of weeks and had some time there to visit with folks and encourage a group of people to conduct a course there in the state of Wyoming. But we need to, in northern Colorado, I understand there's three counties in northern Colorado that are very upset with Denver, and rightly so, from what I have read about the unlawful laws that Denver is putting forth. Well,
we're going to have to interrupt you. We're out of time, David. Talk to you again next month. God bless, and keep up the great
God
work.
God bless. Thank you, Dr. Stan.
Great Plains Power has been providing reliable electrical power systems in the Rocky Mountain area since 1992. Our systems rely on the sun to help make you self-reliant for your power needs. Solar energy can be scaled to fit any situation, from complete power independence to backup power for the short term. Our expertise focuses on standalone power, but we have extensive experience with utility interactive systems as well. Custom-tailored capabilities as modest as emergency lighting all the way to commercial-scale power. Great Plains Power is a full-service company. We service everything we sell. We provide and design turnkey packages, custom-designed system, and parts for do-it-yourself. With more than 20 years of specialized experience at your disposal, let us know what your power concerns or goals are. Reach us by phone or the internet. Call 303-239-9963. That's 303-239-9963. Or go to greatplainssolar.com. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of the Green Herb.
All of God's people have a ministry, and it's a trick of our enemy to keep God's people sick and worn out to hinder their ability to minister. We are often judgmental toward people who are addicted to booze, cigarettes, and drugs, but we at the Green Herb have found that most of God's people are unknowingly addicted to the two most addictive products in America, sugar and soda pop. If you have a sickness or disease, or if you're just tired a lot, the Green Herb has an herbal product that is formulated just for you, and it's just $15.95. Come by the Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB. That's 888-765-4372. Or go to our website, www.thegreenherb.com, and be sure to listen to the Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. This is the time I have to remind our listeners that my ministry is primarily listener-supported. As you know, we have over 50 outlets every single day week, and we are reaching people with the truth. And that is that there's a subversive element in Washington, D.C. that hates freedom. They are controlled through the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, and their multiple front organizations. There are not that very many of them, a few thousand, perhaps 4,000. In the CFR, only 87 members of the North American chapter of the Trilateral Commission, which is a Luciferian organization. One only has to go to the website, trilateral.org, look at their logo, three sixes joined together by an upside-down broken cross. And yet, of course, every president and or vice president of the United States from 1977 until 2009 came to the membership rolls of the Trilateral Commission. They know exactly what they're doing. They don't want you to know. And your job is to help us get the information out. You need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, and circulate it. You need to get my talks, like my talk on Agenda 21, The Covert Plan. Agenda 21, The Covert Plan, it's, certainly we gave that talk in Colorado Springs. We got a standing ovation. I think it was the only standing ovation there at the conference. Maybe there were a couple of others, but I didn't see them. People want the truth. And you can get it in Brotherhood of Darkness and the Agenda 21, The Covert Plan. They're available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Of course, we have all sorts of the four tape sets. We have all sorts of DVDs we recommend for you, and they're available by calling 1-800-544-8927. Go to our website, radioliberty.com. You can see lists of the various items we have that you need to get. You have our permission to copy them and disseminate them if you get them from us. Help us get the word out. Help us get the American people to be concerned about freedom. We live a wonderful, wonderful life, but it's going to end and end very, very soon. This whole war on terrorism is as phony as a $3 bill. If there was really a terrorist threat, we'd have all sorts of terrorist attacks in America. And how many do we have? How many did you really remember? The Boston Marathon bombing was not what you thought because, of course, of this one gentleman that they had. You saw the pictures of him in the wheelchair, one leg blown off and the other leg below the knee amputation. And yet all the subsequent pictures showed with bilateral above knee amputations. How could that be? Why would they take off a perfectly good below-knee amputation and confine this man to a wheelchair for life unless that whole story was a phony? His name was Jeff Bowman. Go up on the Internet, look at the pictures. You can see my remarks recorded there. Somebody put them up on the Internet, but they're there. And we have not been told the truth about what happened. I don't know what happened, but I do know that part of what happened there was staged, and certainly there may have been a lot of people that were injured. We will never know the truth about what really happened there, but they're using that to try to frighten us. Ladies and gentlemen, this war on terrorism is as phony as a $3 bill, and understand that they're using it to expand their power over your life and mine. And basically, over this closing down of the embassies over in the Near East and the Middle East, just when people are talking about how they're actually using this threat of terrorism to justify listening to all of our telephone calls. And believe me, ladies and gentlemen, they have a dossier on you and your family. And freedom is going to be lost because there are people who don't believe in freedom. A subversive element controls both political parties. Get involved. Our number 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, radioliberty.com. Please pray for America. May the Lord be with you.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America.
He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God.